Welcome to Corazon Technologies, home of the Digital Executive Podcast. Welcome to the Digital Executive Podcast. Today's guest is Dave Chase, co-founder of Health Rosetta. Dave Chase is a healthcare author, entrepreneur, and thought leader. He is the co-founder of Health Rosetta, a nonprofit, and has dedicated his career to fixing our healthcare system. Dave has authored two healthcare books, CEO's Guide to Restoring the American Dream, and the Opioid Crisis Wake-Up Call. Health Rosetta is an open source blueprint that helps employers and benefit advisors create high performance benefits plan that have shown to reduce healthcare spending by 20 to 50% with superior health outcomes. Since its inception, Dave has worked tirelessly to promote Health Rosetta's message nationwide, receiving recognition and being quoted for his healthcare expertise in books such as The Price We Pay, by renowned John Hopkins surgeon Marty McCary, and top-tier media such as Forbes, NPR, ProPublica, and his TED Talks, Healthcare Stole the American Dream, Here's How We Take It Back, where Dave explains the devastation that our broken healthcare system has inflicted on the middle class and his role in the growing health reform movement that's working to fix the problem. Good afternoon, Dave. Glad to have you on the show.
Well, appreciate the opportunity to chat. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. Well, Dave, like you, I've been in healthcare many, many years on the technology side. I love what you're doing. You have quite an accomplished career. Could you just kind of share some of the decisions you made along the way that have contributed to or led to your success?
Well, there's been, of course, a lot of individual ones, but if I sort of take the broad view, I would say there's probably two things that I've done that at least jump out at me initially. One is I have an appetite for ambiguity. I mean, I don't mind uncertain situations, and certainly the, you know, intersection of healthcare and technology, there's been a lot of areas where, you know, the future wasn't totally clear. Well, when nobody's an expert, anybody can be an expert. And so I've liked those opportunities, and maybe related. The other piece I would say is because I've done some things in some emerging technology areas is I'm a believer in riding, you know, as big a wave as you can. You know, I'm going to paddle super hard no matter how big the wave is. But of course, if you are riding a bigger wave, you know, you're going to get farther and have, you know, more fun and drama and all that. And, you know, that's been certainly a puzzle, is figuring out what are the waves worth riding. And, you know, once you get on those can go a long, long time. And, you know, that's been fun, and I think been a big part of why I've enjoyed my career.
That's awesome. And I believe in the same sentiment. I think the, again, the feeling's mutual there on that. And part of this podcast, like I said, this is going to be a digital wave that we hope to get you and your message out there to the general public. We need to make some serious changes in healthcare. So, like I mentioned, I spent a lot of time in healthcare, Dave. What's something unique to healthcare that makes you happy or unhappy? I'm sure you probably have a lot to share there when seeing how other industries are run.
Well, I mean, I'll start positive in that I haven't found an industry where there's more good people, you know, really in it for all the right reasons. Candidly, even in some of the most vilified corners of the industry that get a lot of heat, they're just really good people. There's very few Martin Shkreli's, you know, I don't know if you remember that guy, the guy who was gouging on some generic drugs or whatever. I mean, just really a lot of good people. Now, the part that I'm unhappy about is, you know, no country has more passionate, smart, gratification-delaying clinicians and people than healthcare, and we're spending twice what most countries spend, and unfortunately, we're paying Cadillac prices for a Pinto healthcare system. I mean, we're, you know, at the bottom of the list of the developed countries, despite spending so much. And if I compare with other industries, one that I would look at that I think is germane to just about everybody, because people have probably two big areas of health benefits, whether they're a recipient or they're a company signing off on it. There's retirement benefits and there's health benefits. And in one area, there's aligned interests, you know, where certainly whoever's administering your 401k plan, they're very interested in that growing and succeeding. Unfortunately, despite all these great people, we're inside of a system that's got many perverse incentives and unaligned interests. And when you get into the area that I've dove into over the last several years, health benefits, which was, you know, relatively new for me, I was really more on the health tech side. Wow, it's a dramatic difference. My co-founder and what I'm doing came out of the securities industry, and he's like, wow, you know, he's got his licenses. He said, you know, what is, you know, standard operating procedure, just a fraction of what standard operating procedure and how the health benefits industry works would get you thrown in jail in financial services. And I don't think the vast majority of people realize just how bad it is. And, you know, they'll see some big figures like, you know, we waste 30 to 50% of what we spend and so on. Well, a good chunk of that is in, you know, captured in misaligned interest. So I'm not happy that we're spending so much to get a system that's very wasteful. And, you know, I wrote a chapter in my last book, we've gone to war for less than what the status quo healthcare system has done to our country. So we can do a lot better, and we're starting to do a lot better, but long ways to go.
Thanks for sharing that. That's a, and I think it's not new to anybody, but you've probably read that book, If Hospitals Could Fly, right?
So, yeah, I did.
Yeah, it's a great book. And I think people, more and more people are waking up to the exorbitant cost of healthcare. And you're right, we're not getting the, for that type of money, we're not getting the healthcare we should be provided. So that's great that you're sharing that. I recently watched your TED Talk. I did. It was great. How Healthcare Stole the American Dream. What was the turning point in your healthcare journey where you decided it's time you did something to help turn this ship around?
Yeah, there were two things that kind of coincided with each other. One was, unfortunately, by the time that I was 40 years old, I'd had 10 friends my age or younger die. And that's certainly a wake-up call and is something that impacts you. And the last one in particular, this was a friend of mine who'd had somewhat of a similar career trajectory, done all the right things, done the right stuff, and she got diagnosed with cancer, actually misdiagnosed, and really in every level, it was a system failure, and it was very avoidable, and people sometimes don't realize just how common that misdiagnoses are present. I think it's about 20% of the time in cancer, and 40% of the time when you go to a outstanding place like the Mayo Clinic, they'll make a significant care plan change. And by the end, it ruined her, you know, destroyed her physically, you know, mentally, financially, leaving behind a 10-year-old daughter, a single mother. And it was just brutal to see. And around the same time, I was at a, you know, grocery store, and some kid came up to me doing a fundraiser, selling candy bars. And I was like, oh, you know, what are you raising money for? You know, some band trip or something like that. Like, no, we're spending or raising money to get supplies in our science department at our high school. I'm like, what? Like, don't taxes pay for that? They certainly did when I was a kid. And I just started connecting the dots and just realizing, oh my gosh, this is just a catastrophic system failure. And, you know, we just can't do little fixes to tackle this. And that put me on this journey that, you know, has really become my life's work and my calling. So, you know, out of these very sad situations, you know, I believe there are things that we should do. And that's really what put me on that journey.
That's awesome. You know, they say follow your passion. Well, sometimes you don't know the why until you experience something like this. So thanks for sharing those stories. I think that's really important for our listeners. Dave, what message do you have for business leaders, executives that are not in the healthcare industry? How do you get your message out to them? Because they don't see a lot of the stuff. As you said, your co-founder said, you know, you'd be in jail with all the way we handle healthcare today.
Yeah, I mean, we found up to 17 undisclosed revenue streams that the companies had not been aware of that were paying for the benefits. And what I would say, probably the chapter in the CEO's Guide to Restoring the American Dream that's resonated more than any other with people outside of healthcare is a chapter that's something along the lines of, you're in the healthcare business, whether you like it or not, and here's how to make it thrive. Most organizations, it's the second or third biggest cost after payroll. And so that's the nature of our system in the U.S. Maybe that will change, but it's not going to change anytime soon. And at the same time, every CEO I've ever met has said employees are our most valuable asset. And I would argue they're not stewarding their most valuable asset when they're putting people into a system that essentially have half the workforce is functionally uninsured. When your deductible is greater than your life savings, you're functionally uninsured. And we're even the, you know, we're undisputed world leaders in medical bill driven bankruptcy, and 70% of those, you know, had insurance, or, you know, they called it insurance. And so we really need to step up. And there are lots of organizations that are doing that. We just wrote about one recently, Pacific Steel. It's in one of the benefits magazines. I mean, they, about 750 employees, it took their healthcare spending from $8 million to $3.5 million over a four-year period while benefits improved. And that sounds almost impossible, but we're seeing 20 to 40% reductions in spending while benefits improve right and left. And so that's the type of thing, particularly if you're in a low-margin business like Pacific Steel, they would have had to increase their sales probably, you know, I'm guessing they're 200 million, they're a private company, but looking at the number of employees and all that, I'm guessing they're probably a 200 million a year revenue company. They probably would have had to increase sales 40 million to have the same profit impact as getting Wise on their health benefits. And, you know, that's not easy for a mature business to increase revenue 40 million every year. So those are the types of things. There's a lot of untapped opportunity there. And I would certainly encourage people to take a look.
That's great. No, that's some great advice. I could sit here and spend all day with you and our listeners and give them all these awesome tips on how we can change the healthcare industry. Not necessarily the healthcare providing side, but obviously the way healthcare is paid for. Dave, last thing, and I like to wrap up, just give a tidbit or a nugget. What advice would you give emerging healthcare leaders like yourself? You know, we've got this millennial and now the Gen Z generation. What kind of advice do you give them?
Well, be ambitious. I'm very bullish on millennials and post-millennials in that they're the largest generation in history. You know, they're already the largest chunk of the workforce. The oldest are leaving, you know, what some call the invincible stage of life, you know, where, you know, unless you've had a childhood disease, you tend not to pay attention to the healthcare system until your late 30s, which they are now. Mm-hmm. And I believe they'll be a huge agent for change. What I would advise against, and I see too much of, is people lipsticking pigs and paving cow paths. And, you know, as I always say, we didn't get better lighting by optimizing oil lamp technology. And what's really exciting is people are rebuilding healthcare from the ground up. And this is what happened in the built environment, which I sometimes use in as an analogy. Of course, there, you know, there wasn't some magic day where all the old polluting buildings, inefficient, were raised, and the next day they're all magically green built. The old waned over time, the new grew over time, and that's what we're seeing in particular locales. And so there's incredible organizations on the healthcare delivery side and kind of the supporting industries. And, you know, depending on what your passion is and your area of expertise, you just have to go looking because they are out there. There may not be in the spotlight as much as some big established organizations. But they're certainly out there, and some are growing incredibly well, hiring tons of people. And so I'd really encourage people to take that fresh look. I mean, I haven't met anybody actually anywhere in the world who says you'd actually organize healthcare the way it's organized today. It's just kind of an accident of a bunch of things in history. And so there are these points in time where there's the reset, and we're upon that. I'm seeing it. And, you know, you've probably heard the quote, the future is here, it's just unevenly distributed. That's what I'm seeing, and I think that's a great opportunity for everybody.
Thanks for sharing that perspective. And I know that many of our readership is actually in that in one of those two generations that we spoke about, either millennial or Gen Z. So this is very helpful. Dave, I'd like to personally thank you for your drive and what you're going after. And I hope that you and I will see a change in our lifetime with the healthcare and how it's managed today. So thank you, and I will continue to support your project. And for those that are listening today, if you would go to healthrosetta.org and visit more to learn more about what Dave is doing and the changes that he is proposing within our broken healthcare system. Dave, thanks again for having you on the show, and I'm looking forward to talking to you in the near future.
You're welcome. It was absolutely my pleasure, and look forward to future chat, perhaps.
Thanks again, Dave.
Thank you.